Good morning and welcome to our Community Connection. I'm Tom Davis. I have Michael Grauer on from the National Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma City. And Michael, first of all, welcome.
Much obliged for being on. Yes, sir. Thank you.
You have one of the longest titles I've ever heard for a human being. Does it even fit on your door or your desk plate or even your business card?
It kind of fits crammed on the business card, but nowhere else.
Tell us what it is.
Well, I oversee the cowboy collections, and of course the National Cowboy Museum was founded as the Cowboy Hall of Fame back in the 1950s. That was the initial collecting effort, but it's expanded into historic Western art. Rodeo, obviously, is a huge part of what we started out doing, mm-hmm. and it's expanded into a greater story of telling the a broader picture of the American West. So I oversee a good portion of that. I don't do anything with the Native American collections. We have a curator who's specific to that. And I don't do anything with the sales exhibitions. We have a curator who does that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that the Duke, John Wayne, a movie cowboy, but boy, he was very popular and still is today. I understand he had a heavy hand in making sure that this became a reality, the museum.
Indeed, yeah. He was on the board of directors from the get-go because the founder of the National Cowboy Museum, Chester Reynolds, enlisted the help of governors and senators from the western states, and in California, the American West was a huge thing in the 1950s, and so Mr. Wayne was part of what we do, and he rode in the let's call it the inaugural parade, the ribbon cutting parade from downtown Oklahoma City up here to Persimmon Hill in 1965 on a white horse, nonetheless, and then left us his collection when he passed in 1979, which we have on exhibit in our Western Performers Gallery.
Man, now I understand that we've got some new sites that I can't even pronounce, but I know that that's on the Native American side, but still it's a fun place for the interaction, I guess, right?
Indeed, Lichikoshkamo, which is a Chickasaw word that translates as "Let's Play," opened last month, and it's an outdoor learning experience, is the way we like to say it. And there, of course, is a heavy children's component, but it's also geared towards adults and people of mid-range, and so there's something for everybody out there. And it has a great section devoted to American Indian life across the American West, as well as a component about cow towns, and of course we already have Prosperity Junction inside the building, so there's a great connection between the two, and it allowed us to talk about the multicultural West, which is a difficult thing to talk about because of the lack of artifacts that we can use to tell those stories. So we largely used architecture as the jumping-off point for how these people came to settle in the West.
Well, Oklahoma, of course, being rather unique in the way we got it settled.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes, sir.
Anyway, this really is a great snapshot of our history. We have different parts of the history that all kind of come together, as you were talking about it being multicultural. But this is for some, it's not just the movies. This was a hard, very real way of life early in this nation's history.
Yeah, there's an expression of the reference to people to come here's and stay here's, and there are plenty of people who came out to the West and just couldn't cut it. There's a great writer on the American writers of the American West and American literature named Wallace Stegner, and he always said that when you come to the American West, you have to give up the color green, because once you get west of the Hunter's Meridian, the rain drops off to less than 20 inches a year, and that was something people just couldn't handle out in the West. It's a stark place. It's a difficult place, and the lack of water was always a challenge. And so, in finding food. We have myths about the West that, buffalo were standing around waiting to get shot and eaten, when in fact they were migratory animals and difficult to capture. So it had great challenges to people, and a lot of people couldn't hack it. But those who stayed built a pretty hardy people and ultimately helped build America.
Yeah, and it, like you said, it's a lot of different faces, a lot of different cultures all mixed into what made the West the way it is today and the way it was back then. And talk about a lot of changes. You know, we keep thinking that the 20th century had a lot of changes, but prior to that, in the 1800s, we had a lot going on, too, and a lot of it was happening as we were expanding westward.
Indeed, and it was lightning fast in terms of world history, how quickly the American West got settled, and technological advances, largely due to innovation forced by circumstances, really lent itself to all kinds of changes worldwide, in fact. So locomotive transportation, of course, comes somewhat late to the game, but you know, the reintroduction of the horse by the Spaniards to North America in 1519, that was a huge deal. That was a game changer. It changed all cultures when those horses showed up, and then cattle show up, and the next thing you know, you got cow towns, and you've got settlers coming in, and then farmers, and then banks, and lawyers, and doctors, and such, as Waylon and Willie reminded us. So there you go.
You know, you make the product, and next thing you know, the folks with the suit and ties and fancy papers are just close behind after the hard work's done.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The check writers, as we like to call them.
The check writers.
Yeah. Cashers and check writers, yeah.
We're talking with Michael Grauer, and he's with the National Cowboy Museum. For the folks who haven't been over to Oklahoma City to see you yet, what's the address over there?
1700 Northeast 63rd Street.
Real easy to find. And
We're on a very prominent place, and that was actually one of the requirements for the National Cowboy Museum to be established in Oklahoma City, was it had to be close to a network of highways, which we had in 55, and on a prominent location. So it's on a hill, a high hill in Persimmon Hill neighborhood that overlooks downtown Oklahoma City a little bit to the southwest. But you come in on I-44, used to be Route 66, mm-hmm. of course, and the other highways that come north and south and east and west are here. You're within a mile of, I think, four different interstates here, and so it's pretty easy to find. Yes, sir.
I can almost hear John Wayne saying it right now. You better put it where people can see it.
Yeah, I think that's well done. That was well played. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now,
yeah, we've got photographs of him riding his white horse up the hill. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, man. And, of course, you have the artifacts. You also have the performance aspect of the museum, too, that pays homage to the real cowboys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have galleries devoted to the American cowboy, a multicultural fellow and sometimes a woman across the American West.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were multicultural, in fact, not in theory. It's a politically correct thing to say these days, but it was true.
It was true, yeah.
They came in from all different cultures and
all different parts of the world.
Indeed, yeah. You had cowboys from Denmark and cowboys from Africa and cowboys from Venezuela, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they were from everywhere.
And you can learn about it there at the National Cowboy Museum. You've got a great website there. Tell the folks where they can find it so they can get a little peek before they plan their trip.
Well, I think that you just go to nationalcowboymuseum.org and you're going to find us. That's pretty easy to remember because there's only one National Cowboy Museum.
Indeed. Michael Grauer is with us here with the National Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma City. Now, for the folks who are trying to make a day trip of it, I know that we had the COVID-19. That changed things quite a bit. You were closed for a while, but now you're open for business.
Right.
I understand that we're still on the CDC recommendation, just kind of be polite to your neighbor as you pass through.
Exactly, we're following all those protocols with our security staff and the rest of our staff when we're up in the public areas, and of course we have sanitation stations at various places. So, and we recommend social distancing, of course, throughout the galleries, which is a better way to enjoy the experience anyway, because unless you get outside, and then it's kind of no holds barred out there, but. But in any case, we're following all the protocols. Yes, sir.
Indeed. And if folks, do we have to have a reservation these days, or is it unless you have like a big tour or something like that, or is it just come as you are?
No, you just come head on, and we'll welcome you with open arms, and probably won't shake your hand, but we might bump elbows with you.
Oh, yeah, good.
Just briefly. But everybody's wearing a bandana, as a good cowboy should have around his neck at all times. And so everybody's good to go here on our staff. And we'd love for any and all to come.
And if folks aren't really a big fan of the computer, can they make a call and ask some questions?
You betcha. Yeah, we've got a great front desk staff, and if they can't answer a question, they'll send it to somebody else on the staff who can help you out. We get a lot of queries by by through the website about Cowboys and about Western things. So, you know, we've got a terrific team here that tries to answer all those questions as quickly as possible.
So whether you're a historian or just a young cowpoke, you know, mm-hmm. a preschooler, there's something for everyone, and you can learn an awful lot in not that long of a time span when you go to the National Cowboy Museum.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Michael Grauer, thank you very much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure entirely, sir. Much obliged.
All right. And visit Michael out there at the National Cowboy Museum and get to the website at nationalcowboymuseum.org. Thank you, sir.
Much obliged, sir.